Blog Talk Radio.
Quarterbacks are going to the sport they love the most in front of a global listening audience.
Topics covered but not limited to will be NBA champion Denver Nuggets. We'll also get off into some NHL news. They're still in their playoffs. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about the College World Series for the men, and then congratulations to the Oklahoma Sooners for the Lady Sooners for winning the NCAA Softball World Series. They took it all, and they're a dynasty. I believe this is their third one in the last couple of years, and I think they've won this back-to-back. This is their third one straight, if I'm correct. If I'm incorrect, please call into the show and correct me or debate me on that. 515-602-9687 is the call-in line. 515-602-9687, that's the call-in line. And I want to apologize for forgetting to tell everybody else out there, if it's your first time tuning in, if you like other sports like pickleball, camel racing, dog racing, mud wrestling, WWE, UFC, boxing, martial arts, whatever, you want to call in and talk about hot dog eating contest, pie eating contest, whatever you want to call in and talk about, we'll definitely take your call. You can kind of call in and talk to us about your sport. If we don't know about it, you can teach us about it. And if you don't know about what we're talking about, like football, basketball, baseball in the United States, we can teach you about it. This is a global streaming show, so we get listeners in South Korea. We get listeners in Russia, Germany, all over Europe. Africa, like Uganda, we get listeners all over the place. So, like I said, it's different sports around the world, but this is an all-inclusive sports talk show. But however, our main topic usually is something that's about the National Football League. But today our topic is the Nuggets withstood the heat. Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray and the supporting cast, Bruce Brown and all those guys, Tristan Brown, all those guys, they withstood the heat last night. They withstood Jimmy Butler. They withstood Bam Adebayo's attack, and Bam had a good game last night. Jimmy Butler didn't really come on until like a little bit late in the fourth quarter. However, he did start showing up, like I knew he would, and you know that's why they called him a bucket. He did eventually show up in the fourth quarter, but that big turnover that he created, where he turned the ball over to KCP in the waning seconds of that game. They had about 20-something seconds left in the game, and they were trying to go down the score. He coughed it up. Things happen. You know, you can't blame Jimmy Butler for the loss by himself. It was a team effort in the loss, just like it was a team effort in the win for the Nuggets. They, you know, across the monitor, they're just basically comparing Jokic to the greatest of all time, all these great players, all the great big men of all time, saying that his skill set, as far as an offensive player, is impeccable. Defensively, he has some flaws, but his skill set is impeccable. And so that's what they're raving about. They're raving about the Nuggets. You know, this is their first championship since they came into the NBA. If I'm correct, they were an ABA team, and they may have had one title back in the 50s or something like that. But then when they came, since they've been in the NBA, they've never won a world championship. So they have their world championship. They got it. Unfortunately, the Miami Heat, they've been twice in the past couple of years. They went in the bubble year 2020, and they came up short against the Lakers. They battled all from the eight seed in a play-in tournament, knocking off Giants, beating Giants. They was taking out Giants. I believe they took out the Bucks. I know they took out the Celtics, and they took out the I think they might have took out the Philadelphia 76ers as well. If I'm correct, they knocked those three out. Bucks fell to Jimmy Butler and the Heat. Then after they wrapped up the Bucks and got them out of there, I believe the next victim was Philadelphia, and then on to Boston. So that's kind of the way that went. If I'm incorrect about any of that, again, call into the show, 515-602-9687. Put your hand up in queue, and I'll kindly come to you, and you can debate me or correct me. And if you call in and you don't put your hand up in queue, I'm going to just let you stay there and listen. But if you put your hand up in queue to talk, I'll bring you on air. When I bring you on air, just say your first initial, last initial, and the city or the state that you're calling in from. We like to keep everybody's identity discreet on the show. So just in case you're supposed to be at work or doing your honey-do list or stuff like that, running errands for the kids or whatever, we don't want you to get caught listening to the Stogies and Beer radio show. We're supposed to be doing other things. So that's why we tell you just announce your first initial, last initial, and the city or state you're calling from. Now, going back to the topic, Nuggets withstood the heat. It was a great series. I saw the game last night, to say it was a 4-1 gentleman sweep, I think you'd be doing this series a discredit because it was a hell of a series. All these games were hard fought. All these games were hard fought games. And just when you thought that the Nuggets were going to wrap up the Heat or put them in a commanding position, the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler, they came up with a win. So they got it to 2-1. They got it to 2-1, but then they just couldn't get it to 2. They couldn't get that 2-2. When it came to 3-1, I believe Jamal Murray and supporting cast, KCP and all those guys who like smell blood. We got to get them out of here. We got to get these guys out of here, and that's what they did. They got the series back home. Went back home up 3-1. Went back home up 3-1, and they said, we got to get these guys out of here. It's time. And for a minute, it looked like Miami was about to pull another magic trick. That's why I say I'm not going to sit back here and be like, well, Jimmy Butler, they laid an egg and all the stuff like they're saying on the media. I'm not going to go there. All the stuff they're saying on the media this morning, oh, well, you know, Jimmy Butler, he ain't that guy. Jimmy Butler is that guy. He just didn't have a great shooting night last night. That's all. He that guy though. Just didn't have a great shooting night. You know, we have to stop saying that. You know, it can't just be on one guy. Bam Adebayo showed up last night, and he's played a decent series, but he really showed up yesterday. He put the team on his back and said, "I'm not going to let us lose." He tried. Then Jimmy eventually showed up when they needed a bucket. He gave it to him late in the fourth quarter, and then started getting to the free throw line, hitting three free throws, and they fouled him on the 3-point line. They tried to say that was a questionable call, say that he kicked his leg at the kick guy. And to me, it's kind of like he might have had a little bit of intent, but at the same time, it still was in his full motion. It was in the act of shooting, so I really can't say that it was the wrong call. But the right team won. The Nuggets, they closed out. They closed out at home. But that was a hell of a series, everybody. That was a hell of a game. It was a treat last night. Even though you say it was a 4-1 gentleman sweep, and everybody thought it was going to be 4-0. But it was 4-1. It easily could have been a 3-2 situation, forcing a game six. They were trying to force a game six last night, if I'm correct. I don't really do math good in my head, but I believe, if it was 3-2, they would have forced the game six. And that's what the Miami Heat was trying to do last night. They damn near pulled it off. For them, not having Tyler Hero, and they were missing a shooter. Duncan Robinson, he started coming on in the series. He started coming on doing what he's supposed to do, shooting that three ball. It was just a hell of a series, everybody. I mean, I don't think the series disappointed at all. And here it was. I was talking about this series was going to lose ratings. I apologize to the Denver Nuggets franchise. I apologize to the Miami Heat franchise, all the players on both sides, and the basketball world. I apologize for even saying that this series was going to lose ratings because they didn't have the star power on each roster. You know, they had quiet stars, not star power. You didn't have the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, the LeBron James, the Stephen Curry, the Jason Tatum, the Giannis, Embiid. You didn't have all that in this series. You just didn't get a lot of quiet stars. Almost like a lot of role player type of guys that's kind of like been around the league and you know, playing with the quiet stars. Like they were saying, Jimmy Butler and a bunch of bums. You know, that's what my guy BC from Maryland, that's what he was saying, Jimmy Butler and a bunch of bums. But I thought that this series was not going to get high ratings, but they competed so hard against each other. Even though you had a one seed against an eight seed, the eight seed was competing, and they acted as if they were supposed to be there. That's what I like about it. They acted as if they were supposed to be there. They didn't act like, oh well, we shouldn't be playing in this game. They didn't act like that. They acted like they actually belonged in that arena playing against the one seed, and they really did because they knocked off three giants: Milwaukee Bucks, Philadelphia 76ers, and the Boston Celtics. They knocked them guys off. Miami Heat just did not want to die. Last night, they just did not want to die, people. They didn't want to die. They kept fighting. They kept going. So I'm not disappointed in this series at all. I'm really happy that the series was as good as it was. It did not disappoint. And now the Denver Nuggets have solidified themselves as a real champion that can start working on being a dynasty now. I'll give them three. I'll give them three back-to-back. And the reason why I give them three back-to-back is because the Miami Heat defensively, they play good defense. They play good defense. And the Denver Nuggets, they withstood it. They withstood the whole thing. The Miami Heat played strong defense, plays good defense, but the Nuggets withstood it. Anytime you can compete against a defensively strong team like they did last night and come out on top and win a championship, everybody else out there, you can try to stop the Denver Nuggets offense. I don't see it happening. They're going to find a way. We're talking about a seven-game series. You might shut them down for a game or two, but trust me, they're going to come back. This team, the Denver Nuggets, is the real deal. And what I like about it is because now they're a champion. The Denver Broncos already solidified who they are. I believe the Colorado, I think the Avalanche out there in the NHL, I think they have a title or two, if I'm correct. I think at least one. And then, you know, we got the Colorado Rockies out there. They haven't won a title. But you know, Denver is sort of like now, like a title town. You know, it's sort of like a title town, especially when it comes down to the Denver Broncos. And then now you got the Denver Nuggets. When basketball and football is popping in your city, that's a good feeling. When basketball and football is popping in your city for a community. So hats off to the Denver Nuggets. They withstood the heat. They're saying across the title, they're saying across the monitor, Jimmy Butler said he ain't concerned about going to the Hall of Fame and all that. The man just lost the NBA championship, people. What do you think he's going to say? He just lost the NBA championship for the second time in the last 3 years. 2020, he lost it against the Lakers in the bubble. Now, he just lost last night against the Nuggets. What do you think he's going to say? Yeah, I got a Hall of Fame career. I'm a Hall of Famer. This, that, that. How are you going to be a Hall of Famer, talk Hall of Fame, if you don't have a championship? How do you expect him to talk being a Hall of Famer and he ain't got a title? Come on, people. That's almost like what they were saying about Nikola Jokic, saying that, well, he should be the MVP. He's a two-time MVP, so we have got to give it to Joel Embiid this time because he's won it twice, and he can't win it again without a title. Now he got his title, so now I guess they're saying he can be the regular season MVP again because he dang sure won the MVP, the finals MVP last night. So, yeah, they're saying that Jimmy Butler, you know, his attitude was kind of like nonchalant on him going to the Hall of Fame. He said, I don't care about that stuff. And he probably don't. He doesn't seem like a guy that's worried about being a star. He don't seem like a guy that's worried about being the man. He don't see the guy that's worried about all these all these accolades, anything besides the NBA championship. Some of the people across the monitor, and I didn't agree with this, some of the people that I like on the monitor, some of the big media guys were just saying like, Jimmy Butler was selling whoop tickets talking about, you know, I guarantee a win. I don't recall him saying he guaranteed a win, but even if he did say he guaranteed a win, what is he supposed to say? What is he supposed to, I mean, some of us in the media crack me up. And some of these guys in the media have played pro sports at a high level. What is he supposed to say? The man, you think he's thinking about the Hall of Fame? When he just lost for the second time an NBA championship, he's had his hand, and I think this is the second time they lost 4-1. They lost in the bubble, I believe, 4-1. I don't think it was a sweep. I think they pulled out one game. But I don't recall that series against the Lakers being this close and hard fought. I don't recall it. It's been a little bit. But this Miami Heat team, they came and battled the number one offense in the NBA. They came and battled them, and they almost won that game last night. They were never out of that game. They only lost by 6 points. They were never out of that game. And had it not been for the Jimmy Butler turnover at the end, you know, they probably would have just lost by three. I think they'd have still lost, but it'd probably been more like by 3 points. And I believe that's because the Nuggets started hitting their threes late in the game. They started hitting their threes late in the game. I apologize, people, for yawning on that. The late night dog didn't get much sleep last night. Been dealing with some insomnia. I'll share that with you. Been dealing with some insomnia because I've been trying to launch a new business, and it hasn't been going as smooth as I would like it, but I'll get through it. But anyway, late night dog apologized for yawning on that, but I did not get much sleep, so I'm sitting there loading up on coffee, just trying to get through this show, trying to put on a smile and entertain you guys. Yeah, but for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stokes the Bear Radio Show, broadcasting live from Tunica, California, WBEST, that's WBEST, and I am your host, Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Our topic for today is Nuggets Withstood the Heat. The host of the Bay Forum, tell quarterbacks regarding the sports they love the most in front of a global streaming audience. Topics covered but not limited to will be the NBA champion Denver Nuggets. All right, we've been kind of like getting on that. They're saying across the monitor, Nuggets win first NBA title in franchise history. Jokic named Finals MVP. What was the difference for the Nuggets in Game 5? What was the difference for the Nuggets in Game 5? They played tremendous defense. There was a difference. They came out and they actually played defense. And I think putting KCP on Jimmy Butler, putting KCP on Butler, kind of stunted Butler's activity. KCP kind of played lockdown defense on Jimmy last night. That's why he didn't get started till kind of like late. He was doing other things, but he didn't really get started till late. Jimmy Butler really wasn't a big factor to fourth quarter. It was all about Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo was given just as good as he was getting from Jokic. Adebayo was given just as good. I think he finished up with like 19 points, 19, 20 points, somewhere up in there. But he came to battle. But last night, the difference in Game 5 for the Nuggets was they came and played defense. And I was actually surprised. I'm like, dang, man, they really locking down. They're really locking down on Miami because they don't have a great defensive team. You got one player that's really their defensive jump starter, and that's Bruce Brown. Brown gets them going on defense because he can create turnovers. He'll steal that ball, create turnovers and everything like that. He's a heck of a player. Now they're talking about, well, are they going to, you know, keep all their pieces, or are they going to, because they're going to have to pay Brown? And yeah, they're going to have to pay Brown. But the good thing about the Denver Nuggets, this is what I like about the Denver Nuggets. They are not owned by a millionaire or a group of millionaires. They're owned by a billionaire, Stan Kroenke. This dude's so rich, he owns the Nuggets. He owns the Rams. And that kind of shocked me last night. I said, ain't that the same guy that owned the Rams? Because you're thinking, you know, he operating in Denver and he operating in L.A. And then get this. Just last night they announced that Stan Kroenke is going to be buying property in San Diego at the San Diego, old San Diego Sports Arena where the Clippers used to play. It's now called the Pechanga Arena. He's buying that. He's about to make a whole new sports complex, put up 4,000 houses. That's about 2,000 housing units will be affordable housing. Some will be middle-income housing, and the rest of them will be market-value housing. He's going to do that here in San Diego around the San Diego Sports Arena, which he's going to refurbish the sports arena. It's actually now called Pechanga Sports Arena or whatever, but something like that. But it's Pechanga, it has the name and rights to the San Diego Sports Arena. He's going to take that, and he's going to refurbish it. And we don't know if we're getting a – we don't know if we're getting a hockey team. And I'm not talking about minor league. My major league sports franchise is about to come here. We don't know if we're going to get a hockey team, expansion hockey team in the NHL. We don't know if we're getting an NBA team, expansion NBA team. And we don't know if he's going to be bringing back in the sports complex NFL team. We don't know what's going on. But I've seen the layout of it, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I think he's got it set up to where probably going to have to set up, he's going to knock down the sports arena the way it's looking. He's going to knock that down, either knock it down or refurbish it for basketball and then put a football stadium or another stadium around it. I don't have all the details, but Stan Kroenke is about to redevelop the Midway District in San Diego and bring a sports franchise or two to San Diego. And I'm not talking about no expansion team. We are one of these weird cities where we do a lot of pro developmental sports. The San Diego Gulls, AHL hockey, that's pro developmental, high level pro developmental, but it's not the NHL, it's AHL, if I'm correct. Then you got the San Diego Soccer, great indoor champion, soccer indoor champion. We got the Indoor Football League, they're here. They've been here the last 3 years. The San Diego Strike Force, they're here. They play at that Pechanga Arena. And who else we got? Who else do we have in here? We got, well, of course, we got the Padres, but that's the only major franchise we have left because the San Diego Chargers, now the L.A. Chargers, up and left us. They up and left us. And I'm kind of not wanting to bring a football team here because it always going to feel like the Chargers is our football team, even though they're in L.A. It's still a lot of people here. Still love the San Diego Chargers, including myself. But, yeah, going back to what I was saying, what was the difference for the Nuggets in Game 5? The difference for the Nuggets in Game 5 was the fact that the Nuggets played tremendous defense last night. They played defense. They took Jimmy Butler pretty much out of the game. I'm going to tell you somebody else who had a great game last night for the Miami Heat, though, Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry put that team on his shoulders for a minute. He was sinking some shots. He was showing that, hey, I've been here before. I got a ring. Did y'all forget? Me and Kawhi Leonard got a ring. Did y'all forget that? He was letting them know. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. I got a championship too. I got a second gear. And he put it in a second and third gear last night because Kyle Lowry had a hell of a game. He had a hell of a game. He was just determined. He was determined that he wasn't going to – him and the Bam Adebayo were determined last night. We're not letting this team lose. They would not let them lose. It happened, but they did their best. They did not want to let their team down. That was a hell of a game last night, people, and a hell of a series. And, again, I apologize to everybody for saying that I thought it was going to lose ratings, but, no, they didn't lose any ratings. Not at all, because all those games played tough and all those games played tight. And everybody was really just trying to see, are the Nuggets capable of sweeping Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat and his no-name team, his undrafted no-name team. I think in the 60s, the Minnesota Vikings, either the 60s or the 70s, they had what you call that no-name defense, meaning like nobody knew there was a bunch of no-namers, probably a bunch of undrafted guys that they strung together. And they were just winning. that they called it that no-name defense. I believe it was the Minnesota Vikings with the no-name defense. But that's kind of like what Jimmy Butler was playing with, that type of a team, because they were saying, well, everybody's undrafted. Everybody's undrafted. How did Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra put this team together? All these undrafted guys, and if they're undrafted, they went undrafted for a reason. If they went undrafted, nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted to give them the big contract for being a drafted player. It's a reason. They lack something. So how are they playing? And at the same time, how are they in the NBA Finals? Because people get better. Sometimes you gotta look at a player and say, he might not be what he needs to be now, but I can take him and I can turn him into something. I can drop him down in the G League and let him get better. Or I can help him get overseas, maybe put him with somebody, help him get overseas, and then we'll take a look at his film as time goes and try to bring him back to the G League, get him on a contract there, then bring him on to an NBA franchise. It's a way to do everything as you letting the player develop. And smart scouts keep their eye on players, keep their eye on player development. Sometimes you got to go overseas and play. Look at like a Pat Bev. Pat Bev had to go overseas and play, playing in Greece and all that stuff. Sometimes these players got to go over and play in Israel. There's a lot of players that had to go overseas and play high-level basketball overseas, and then they make their way back. Some go over there and then come back, get an opportunity to play in the TBT. That's coming up, the basketball tournament. Love it. Love that tournament because it showcases a lot of free agents from all levels of college and overseas basketball. And some of those guys get picked up. They get a contract because they get scouted. They get scouted, and then they'll get their little summer league, NBA summer league contract, and so come go to summer league in Vegas and show what they can do. And I think they got one here in California too, the California Classic, like with the Sacramento, I believe it's the Sacramento Kings. All the teams in California have their summer league tournament, and then the other guys they all go and play in Vegas. But what I'm saying is that a lot of those players that go overseas come back, they'll do the TBT tournament, and then they'll get an opportunity to play in summer league, NBA summer league. And then you never know, they wind up on a G League contract or on the NBA roster. But that's the kind of team that the Miami Heat put together, a team with those type of components, people, a team with those type of components. So, you know, again, hats off to the Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic. Hats off to them. Hats off to them. Hats off to Mike Malone. Hats off to them. You know, they did their thing. And that series did not disappoint because, you know, and again, you know, my condolences to the Miami Heat for not winning. Jimmy Butler and all those his crew. I like they say that his no-name crew, because they all were undrafted guys that he was out there playing with. But, you know, most of them at least, because I think Bam got drafted. I don't know. I guess they're saying all the guys coming off the bench that was contributing, a lot of them were undrafted players. I think they're really kind of like overthink. I think they overthought that statement. Oh, who's all these undrafted guys, no-name guys that Jimmy Butler's playing with? Come on, guys. All them guys obviously played in college. They just didn't get drafted. They just had to sign a free agent contract. Hey, you going to sign for this amount of money? Good thing the NBA is all guaranteed money. You going to sign for some money, and then you're going to have to, you know, play your way into a bigger contract. No problem. They did it. They did it. They made it all the way to the finals, knocked off some Giants, and they made every game entertaining. And last night they could have easily won that game because they were never out of that game. And they had the lead a couple times. Denver didn't lead, if I'm correct, Denver didn't lead that game last night the whole way. They were down, too. They were down. All right, we're going to segue over to the NFL and some college football stuff, because it is officially, in my book, NFL season. It's NFL talk time. It's, everybody's getting ready for camp. We had some Aaron Rodgers news and different stuff, Dallas Cowboy news. The NFL headlines are starting to come back. But before we get there, it's saying on the monitor, Deion Sanders on Colorado. I want it all, and I want it now. Will Colorado be able to back up Coach Prime's comments? Will Colorado be able to back up Coach Prime's comments? Deion Sanders is a winner, people. And it's a shame that in life we want people to, how do I say it? In life, you know, we want people to humble themselves. Well, were you great, and God has given you the ability to be a Samson, you know, a great, powerful man. Well, God's given you the ability to be great like Deion Sanders. They're showing on the monitor some of his old highlights when he was playing for Atlanta and the Dallas Cowboys and whatnot. When God gives you the ability to be great, people, why do we always want people to humble themselves? If you're great, you're great. They hated when Muhammad Ali talked. And he telling you, I'm the greatest. Then going in there backing it up, predicting rounds. The round, I'm going to stop him in this round. And when you great, you can say this stuff. When you say it, I want it all, I want it now. Speaking of Coach Prime, Deion Sanders at the University of Colorado. Will Colorado be able to back up Coach Prime's comments? Yes. They get mad at Deion Sanders now because, oh, he came in and just cleared house, sent all them kids home, and trying to save scholarships for other players that he's recruiting. That's what he's supposed to do. That's what he's supposed to do. I mean, good God, how many football programs is it around the country that all them kids that lost their scholarship, how many other programs they could have went to and made better? A lot of them. Trust me, a lot of them. They, for that matter, they could have went and played at an NAIA school. Got on one of them teams and made them better. Probably stood out at that level and still get drafted or invited to an NFL camp. You just got to know how to play your cards, people. Quit trying to be on the team where everybody on the team is good, and then you can't even get on the field or you can't stay on the field. That's stupid. Go to another team. Find a good FCS program. Find a good FCS program and go play for them. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Find a good FCS program and go play for them. Kind of strategize it out. What other sports are they good at? Okay, they got a good, strong baseball program. Okay, I'll go play there. They got a good basketball program. Okay, I'll play there. At least they got some money behind at least one sport that can kind of like trickle down into your scholarship money. What are they good at? Good at girls basketball, women's basketball or whatever. You got to be strategic. So what Coach Prime took your scholarship from you? What difference does it make? Transfer out. Go to Colorado. It's another Division I college team there. Colorado State. Go there. Transfer over. See if they got room for you on the roster at Colorado State. But that's what you heard. He let all of these guys go. Then I think it was also kind of like out there, he letting a lot of the white kids go. It was a coach at this university at Colorado that said, he came up with the idea. He said, you have to have the big black athlete. And I'm not trying to make this racial or nothing like that, but I'm just telling you what the coach said. And I forgot the coach's name. But know what he said? He said, you got to have the big black athlete if you want to win in today's game. If you don't have that type of athlete, you're not going to be successful. So he purposely went around the country and started scouting black athletes that had the right mentality to be able to live in Colorado. Because, I mean, you're going to Colorado as a black inner city kid from L.A., from Houston, Texas, somewhere like that. And now they're going to drop you off in the mountains. Or Colorado, you up in Mile High, and now it ain't a whole lot of people up there that look like you. But for the fact that you're an athlete, you draw people to you. You draw friends. You're an athlete. You're on the football team, so you automatically start drawing people to you. You know, the guys love you because you're scoring touchdowns. The girls love you. Because it's scoring touchdowns and they see opportunities for their future. So, you know, he had to talk to a lot of these inner city kids and tell them, hey, when you come out here, you got to live your life a certain way. The law enforcement is not happy you here. The community ain't happy you here. But I'm bringing you here because we want to win. This program wants to win. So he said, I'm telling you what a coach from Colorado said. I saw the documentary. I forgot the coach's name. Speaking of which, that same coach came out here to the San Diego area, right up the road in North County. I'm in South County, but up in North County in Vista, California, they went and got the quarterback from Vista High School. They had a great story on him, but the young man wound up dying of stomach cancer. Didn't know why he was sick. He actually had a baby with the coach's daughter, Polynesian young man, Samoan. Samoan young man, he's a quarterback, starting quarterback. You know, that documentary is out there. Look it up. Google up documentary on Colorado University. But the point that I'm making is that they're mad at Coach Prime for taking all these kids' scholarships. People, Coach Prime had to take these kids' scholarships or Coach Prime couldn't win. You got to – he cut the fat. All the dead weight, he was like, you're not going to get any playing time. I'm releasing you so you can go somewhere else. Basically, almost like a free agent in pro football. I'm releasing you so you can find another place to go and play that needs you. I'm doing you a favor because if you stay here, you're not going to see the field, son. And your opportunity to shine and go to an NFL camp, at least to sign a free agent camp contract, your opportunity to sign that is going to be slim and none with me because I'm not starting because I don't think you're good enough. That's what Coach Prime said. In so many words. I ain't saying he said that exactly, but I'm saying that that's what he's thinking. You're not good enough. So with that being said, I'm not mad at the way Coach Prime has been handling things at that school. He's cleaning out all the dead weight, making cap space for the good players. Making cap space for the good players. Nothing wrong with that. That's not unheard of. I don't blame him. He's honest with these kids, telling these kids, hey, you know, I'm taking a scholarship. You're not going to see the field. And then what he's doing, you know what he's doing, right? He's going to places like Houston, all the schools down south, like the teams like a Texas would be getting, a TCU would be getting, who else down there, a Houston would be getting. He's going at the players that might have went to Tulane or whatever. He went down there and got these 9 out of 10s going out there recruiting young black men because that's one of Deion's missions. One of his missions, the way I see it, listening to the way he talks, he has what you call a Southern preacher ministry style of coaching. And he can relate to these black kids because that's what we're used to. We're used to being to a lot of times, a clergy, being close with a clergy in our community, because a lot of us go to church, you know, a lot of black kids go to church on Sunday, and the pastor is usually a person that can relate to you or try to relate to you. So Deion Sanders, to me, has that kind of Southern coaching, preaching style to help develop who? Young black men. So he went out there to get – he's probably going out there getting these young black athletes, bringing them in, bringing them to a university that has some budget. Colorado don't have a big budget because he didn't say that they couldn't pay him all the money he was asking for. But he took the opportunity. He's bringing these young black men that are willing to listen, willing to be coached, and willing to want to win and win under a champion like Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was a human highlight reel back in the late 80s, early 90s. He's a human highlight reel, people. I remember him. I watched him. He served up the Saints for many days. He served up the Saints many days. And I hated that. I hated when he was in Atlanta. Hated when he was in our division. Every time we got to play him, trying to get in, get in the wild card, play for a wild card spot, or play in a wild card game. Saints in Atlanta. I'm like, oh God, we got to deal with Deion Sanders. I don't want to deal with this dude. they got it on the monitor saying, you know, I guess trying to make it sound like, you know, he's too braggadocious. He's being greedy. That man's putting together a team. That's why they paying him. How he's gonna get a bigger contract or get a bigger job opportunity if he can't put together a good college program, a winning program? He's trying to take Colorado to the national championship like they were under the other coach I was talking about back in the day. The one who said you have to have the big black athlete to win and get at a national championship. So what Deion Sanders is doing, what? I'm clearing up cap space. Like in the pros, I'm clearing up cap space. I mean, I'm in college, I'm clearing up scholarship money so I can pay the big black athlete down in the South that understands my preaching style, understand my ministry and coaching, understands my ministry to help develop them. They're going to come here. Some of these white kids that wasn't good enough, they weren't going to see the field no way. I'm freeing them so they can go somewhere where somebody can let them play. This program here may not be the right program for you anymore. Under the other coach, the other regime, it was the right program for you because they wanted you here. I'm the new coach. I'm clearing up cap scholarship money. We need sponsors. We need to build a powerhouse team so the donors and the alumni will want to keep dumping money into this program. They're going to be dumping money into this program. Deion Sanders being at the school, everybody, is also going to make it better for other sports because him being there, I think one of his nieces or something like that, one of his family members came over there, a niece or cousin or somebody that's good in basketball. I think they came and joined the women's basketball team. They accepted the scholarship there because he was there. Him being there attracts attention. He's walking around down there with a big cowboy hat on his head and a big overcoat because it was cold during. It was cold. It's starting to warm up down there now, but you know he got his big coat. He got his cowboy hat and his sunshade. Deion Sanders is building a powerhouse up there in Colorado. Oh yeah, the Denver Nuggets just won the world championship for the NBA. They got Russell Wilson for the NFL. Deion Sanders finna get Colorado University, the Buffaloes, which is one of my favorite college teams because I like Eric Bieniemy. The enemy, Eric Bieniemy, not the one you see coaching on the sideline today. You know, he got a little chubby, eating good now. But the enemy, Eric Bieniemy, running back, Eric Bieniemy. Yeah, they went to go get him, and I believe he's from L.A. They went to go get him and bring him to Colorado. Him and a lot of the other supporting cast. That was a hell of a team. Only thing that was standing in their way was doggone Notre Dame. I used to hate when Colorado had to play Notre Dame. Because you knew it was going to be a battle because they had Rocket. Notre Dame had Rocket Ishmael. And the Rocket would take off. You couldn't stop him. I remember they played in the national championship that year. And the only thing that helped us out was somebody on kickoff when he ran it back, somebody got clipped. Notre Dame player clipped one of Colorado's special team guys. And they called that touchdown back from Rocket Ishmael. That gave them life, and they won that game. Colorado University won. This is what Deion Sanders, this is what Coach Prime is trying to bring back, that culture, that winning culture, where they're going to national championships. That's what Colorado wants, people. And he's going to get all them players that was going to be going to Texas, TCU, Houston, LSU, Mississippi. He's going to get them players because a lot of them guys, a lot of the good ones, they want to play for Coach Prime. Coach Prime will win the people. He just came from a national championship, two of them, I believe. He went to two national championships at the HBCU level, at the FCS level. Went to two national championships. They came up short, but at the same time, Deion Sanders ain't playing on the football field. The players are. Okay? He took a few of those kids from Jackson State and brought them to Colorado, including his son. So the point I'm making is, you know, and like I said, this is a football talk show, so it's okay if I talk football. We'll get back on some of the stuff about the NBA finals in a minute, but you know, as of tomorrow, we're not going to be talking too much about the NBA. It's football time now. We're going into football camp. We're going to pro football camp for the CFL, pro football camp for the NFL. It's football time. We got to get these football stuff topics football topics are about to come up. It's going to be more football topics. So bear with me if you're listening to the show. We'll get up into some scores and stuff in the second hour for MLB and things like that. I like to let everybody know what the scores are. Get up into the College World Series for the men. And we'll see what's going on with the Stanley Cup Finals. I think they're playing tonight. I think game four is tonight. So I believe that that series right now is 2-1. 2-1 in favor of the Vegas Las Vegas Golden Knights. So, yeah. But I believe game four is tonight to try to tie for the Florida Panthers to try to tie that series up. And maybe my sports contributor, LT, will call in. He comes on and he talks a lot about hockey. So on his show, the Exalt Sports Show, you can YouTube that, the Exalt Sports Show. But LT will come on. We'll get him to fill us in on what's going on with the Florida Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights. But I'll get the schedule up in a minute and see what they're talking about. For those of you just tuning in, you're tuning in to the Stogie the Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogie the Beer Radio Show. As I said before, Stogie the Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. That translates to 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. I want to take a minute to apologize to you guys for not being on the air yesterday, but the reason why I didn't want to be on the air yesterday is because they really, since football has not been the prime focus and it's been more basketball, and we're down to the last games, and when they spread out the schedule, I didn't want to be on here yesterday just talking, making up stuff when they hadn't even played. It had been a couple of days since the Nuggets and the Heat had played, so my thing was, well, let me just wait. I'm gonna wait to come on to after the next game, so I could tell the results of the next game. Either we was going into a game six, or it was gonna be a wrap. And it happened to be a wrap today. Again, hats off to the Denver Nuggets for winning their first NBA championship in franchise history since that team switched over from the ABA to the NBA. So congratulations to them. But that's why I didn't come on air yesterday, because it just wasn't enough to talk about. Football gives me a lot to talk about. I started this show in July. July 5th is my anniversary. July 5th is my anniversary. So it's how would I say it? When I started the show, we were going off in the NFL camp. So there's a lot of NFL topics, NFL. Then, you know, you kind of roll into, you know, when the NFL starts up real good, baseball is kind of headed towards the playoffs around October or whatever. They're trying to head towards their playoffs. So even though you got baseball playoffs going on, and shout out to my San Diego Padres, because we was in that deep. San Diego Padres in that situation, they're deep. But when it all comes down to it, we had a lot of football stuff going on when I first started to show up, because we were going right into, just like right now, going into NFL training camp. You know, I'm only like about, what, two and a half weeks, I believe, away from my anniversary. So we had all those topics to talk about. We were talking about my New Orleans Saints a lot, talking about the Baltimore Ravens with my number one sports contributor, DC, him calling in. So the point I'm making is that yesterday I didn't come on air because when they're not talking a lot about football, it's not a lot to really talk about, especially when when the NBA spreads the schedule out so much to where it's like you had like 2 days in between them playing, two or 3 days, depending on the schedule of them playing. So I was like, yesterday, I can come on here and try to do a game prediction, but I'd rather just let them play and then come on and talk about the results. So that's why I didn't come on yesterday. I didn't want to really take away from you guys hearing what the experts, the mainstream experts and athletes had to say about the series. I just kind of like let them tote the load yesterday, and I just kind of listened to kind of like get, you know, see what they were talking about going into the game last night. But the Denver Nuggets pulled it out, and they are this morning world champions. And the funny thing about it, say it went back into the NBA, they're just, you know, it just seemed like they couldn't get no respect. But what I like about them, they, Jamal Murray and Jokic and their supporting cast, they made you respect them. They made you respect them. That's what they did. They made everybody respect them. And that's what you do when you're a champion. You make people respect you. Don't get it twisted. Sometimes you got to earn respect, and they earned it. But I always knew that that team was going to be good because in the bubble, I remember Jamal Murray did this reverse. He done this 360 layup. And I was like, who is this guy? And it was just so funny. When he did that, he done that reverse layup, and I was like, who is this guy? But I knew he was going to be, I knew he was going to be good. I knew he was going to be a star. And he proved it this time. And he proved that they had the goods and everything to make it to the next level. But with that being said, we're going to go off into a station break. I think I got some breaking news on the monitor. We're going to go into a station break, and we'll be right back. We're going to play a bit of music next. All right. Hello, and welcome back to the Stoking the Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stoking the Beer Radio Show. Yeah, I had to switch off to a quick station break there unexpectedly. I was going into one anyway, but I had to. There was some breaking news across the air. If you know, look at your monitor, you'll see it. One of our mainstream media personnel was saying goodbye to his recently current platform, saying goodbye to everybody in the world, and he's going to be moving on to some other things. You probably have already heard it over the internet, so you already know who I'm talking to. I try to keep my show just about me and what I'm doing. I don't really like to be announcing a lot of these media experts' names and business too much over on my show because they have their own platforms. But anyway, if you know, one of my favorite media personnel, media people, experts, color commentators, which was a former Pro Football Hall of Famer, former Pro Football player and a Hall of Famer, was leaving his recently current platform and moving on to greener pastures. So, you know, it's always solemn when you see somebody, you've been watching somebody on the monitor for several years, and they've done such a great job and very entertaining, and they have to say their goodbyes to all the people on the show and their counterparts, and to us in as I would say, TV land and radio land. Have to say goodbye to everybody, and, you know, you just see them somewhere. As I like to say, they'll wash up somewhere. The wind will blow them in from somewhere, and, you know, you'll see these people again in another platform. But great platform that they have. Everybody know the one I'm pretty much the one I'm speaking of and the person I'm speaking of. They had as we say in the Navy, fair winds and following seas. Fair winds and following seas. Anyway, we got across the moniker. Nuggets defeat the Heat 4-1 NBA Finals. Nuggets capture first title in franchise history. Jokic named MVP. Was this one of the greatest playoff runs in NBA history? Yeah, I believe it was because they like I was saying before I left off the air. They had to earn everybody's respect. Nobody was trying to respect the Denver Nuggets. They had to earn everybody's respect. They had to earn it. They had to fight for it. It wasn't just given to them. So yeah, this is one of the greatest runs in NBA history because the Heat were never out of that game. They were never out of the game. They were in the game the whole time. They led a couple times in the game. They were never just like getting stomped. They had their run and where they were leading. Because Kyle Lowry, he put on a show. Bam Adebayo put on a show. Then eventually Duncan Robinson started hitting. Then late in the game, Jimmy Butler came alive. He's kind of like a non-factor until about midway in the fourth quarter. And then, as they call him, he's a bucket. When they needed a bucket, he started giving it to them. And he was good at the line. So, hey. You know, he catching a lot of criticism this morning. They're kind of like saying, well, Jimmy Butler said he should care less about the Hall of Fame. What do you want the man to say, people, after he just lost the NBA Finals for the second time? What do you want him to say? And then losing it like in a 4-0 sweep or a 4-1 gentleman sweep for the second time. I forgot if they got swept by the Lakers in the bubble, but I think they pulled out one game. And that's when Bam was hurt. Bam was hurt. He wasn't 100%. Played hurt. So I'm just like, I don't know what y'all expect a person to say after they've just been defeated in battle. What do you want them to say? You want them to say, hey, I'm happy? I remember they asked Gronkowski for the New England Patriots in football. They asked him after a Super Bowl all these stupid questions. Oh, you going to retire? Are you this? Are you that? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, look. I just got done playing. I just got done losing the Super Bowl. Give me some time. Quit asking these people all these critical questions after they just finished up a heartbreaking situation. You think Jimmy Butler happy this morning that he lost the NBA Finals? You think he happy with his performance? He's probably saying, I wish I could have did more. I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have showed up and put that team on my back like I had been doing in other games. He'd have a good night. Out of all the times to have a bad night, that was last night for Jimmy Butler. He didn't have a great night last night. He didn't have a great shooting night last night. He had a bad night. But you can't, unfortunately, you can't have bad nights in the NBA Finals. Let's just say NBA Finals. Keyword final. Take the S off. Keyword final. It's it. When this series is over with, everybody going home. All the other teams are already at home. You got two teams left in the finals. When this thing is over with, when somebody clinches four games out of a seven-game series, whoever clinches the first four are the champions, and everybody's going home. We'll be getting ready for summer league in a minute. They're going to have the draft, I think, on the 26th of this month, if I'm correct. If I'm incorrect, please call into the show. Call in air code 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687. You can call into the show and correct me or debate me on when the NBA draft starts. I believe the NBA draft is starting up. NFL free agency is coming up, if I'm correct right now. There'll be, you know, a lot of free agents will be signing some contracts. I'm talking about free agent vets. That's moving around like the players, like an Ezekiel Elliott. The NFL is going to try to. But the NFL teams are going to be bringing in some key free agents, like a Ezekiel Elliott, like a D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins. These superstar players that are free agents now. They're looking for a new home. So smart teams are going to look out there and say, "Hey, come on in, because you're going to make this team better." Again, on the monitors, Nuggets defeat the Heat 4-1 NBA Finals. Jokic and Murray combined for 51.6 points per game, 20.2 per game, 7.2 assists per game in series. Impressed with how dominant the Nuggets' homegrown stars were. No, I'm not impressed. I'm impressed, but I expected them to do that. You're talking about Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Those guys, that's a hell of a duo. And the Denver Nuggets, they don't have a big three. They have a big two. They have a big two. And they're showing that if you got a big man that can play, all you need is a big two. You need a big three. Big threes, they have a big – that takes up a lot of cap space. That type of team – where you had like a Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and then Kevin Garnett. I believe that was the original big three. You turn around, then you get Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh. That's another big three. All them guys got to get paid. It takes up a lot of cap space. Now, it works because you'll get a championship. It works because you get a chip. You get a chip for your effort. But me, myself, I'd rather have a big two. And I like right now, because Jokic is making teams have to go back to get a big man. Now the big man is coming back. Because for a while, with the way Golden State played, they have an undersized center in like a doggone, which in my opinion, he's really a point for like a power forward in like a Draymond Green. I mean, the Golden State Warriors took a system of guards, shooting guards, defenders, and then they put Draymond in the middle, and Draymond is playing center as like a power forward. Just like Bam Adebayo, I say he's kind of undersized for to be a center. He's an undersized big man. I look at Draymond Green the same way. He's an undersized big man. But the thing about it, Draymond's a dog. And Bam Adebayo is a dog. But what Nikola Jokic made everybody do now is, while they're going through the draft, they're going to be looking for a big man. The day of the big man has returned. And I'm glad. I'm glad, because I like to see when you have a big man in the middle, in the paint, like a Shaq, like a Jokic, like a Dikembe Mutombo. You got to have your big man in the middle. Like a Arvydas Sabonis. You got to have your big man. Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins. You got to have your big man in the middle, people. without the big man, it's hard for a lot of teams to win because now it comes down to spot-on three-point shooting. And if you're not like Klay Thompson, and if you're not like doggone Steph Curry, well, you just basically shooting the ball all day long, I'm going to go up and put up 300-400 shots. I'm going to go up and put up 1,000 shots, 10 sets of 100. And I do that every day. So where you know how to shoot a three in your sleep, a lot of these teams struggle because they can't shoot the ball like that. And I've always hated that format. 3-3-3-3-3. No, 2-2-2-2. And play defense. Don't foul the guy taking the three-point shot. Get the 2 points. If you got 1 3-point threat, cool, that's fine. But everybody else needs to be hitting that mid-range jumper and then taking it to the hole to get to the foul line. That's just the way I like basketball. I don't like all this. Run around and get a three. Run around and get a three. I hate that. Hate it. That's why, you know, with college basketball, we'll say in women's college basketball, where Iowa had the young girl, I forgot her name, Caitlin Clark, I think her name was, whatever her name was. She was trained by Steph Curry. She works out with him, and she shoots like him. And she, when she put the ball up, you pretty much know what's going in. But LSU played solid defense on that team and slowed her down. They played solid defense. They got their 2 point. Angel Reese was taking it to the hole. They was getting their 2 point, their mid-range jumper. And then they had one young lady. She was a three-point threat. They had about 1 3-point threat. But they won the NCAA Women's Basketball National Championship by shutting down a team in Iowa that had that was good 3-point shooters. But Caitlin Clark was a monster. But when you try to live by the three, I don't like when these teams try to live by the three. I say live by the two. Get the easy bucket. Just keep getting them. But with the big man down low coming back, with the big men coming back, it's going to take away from all that 3-point shooting. Because now the big man's down low, he can just get those easy buckets. Like Jokic, you know, Jokic can't jump. He ain't jumping and dunking and doing all this stuff like Shaq used to do. But, I mean, he pretty much, you know, he do his little bunny hop, get the little bunnies, get the rebounds, and put them right back in the hole. He plays good right around the rim. And he's not even a great defender as a big man. But scoring-wise, he's efficient. So I think the battle and the race to get the big men to try to find a Nikola Jokic, a Joel Embiid, I think that's coming back. So, anyway, with that being said, it's 9:18 a.m., and you're listening to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Romero Foran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. It is 62 degrees Fahrenheit, mostly cloudy and rainy here in San Diego, California. Yeah, I want to say a big shout-out to my dude. Speaking about pro developmental football, indoor football league, champions indoor football league, National Arena League. My guy Dante Marshall, big man in the middle. I'll be trying to find him another team to play for while spring ball is still going on. Spring leagues are going on. Spring going into the summertime. Dante Marshall, free agent out of Central State University, undrafted free agent out of Central State University, 6'4", 310 pounds, defensive tackle, 6'4", 310 pounds, Central State University. Got him a contract to play for the Billings Outlaws in the Champions Indoor Football League. He was part of that number one defense in Champions Indoor Football League. He's part of the number one defense out there with my good friend that I met, you know, just doing some marketing, my good friend Tate Brooks. And shout out to Coach Tate Brooks for a great season, getting all the way to the playoffs. Unfortunately, they came up a little bit short against the Omaha Beef. They came up a little bit short, but it looked like it was. I would watch the game until like the last 4 minutes, but I got a little upset because I just couldn't see it. The Omaha was just good. You know, they capitalized on whatever they had to capitalize on, whether it was mistakes or opportunities. The Omaha Beef in the Champions Indoor Football League, who's been to the championship multiple times in the last several years. They're just a good franchise, and unfortunately, my Billings Outlaws came up a little bit short. But it was a good game. It was a winnable game for them. They just came up short. They couldn't pull it off. But they did beat the Sioux City Bandits, moving on from the first round to the second round. They just needed to get over that hump against Omaha to go into the championship game. But again, congratulations to the Billings Outlaws, to my good friend Coach Tate Brooks with that number one defense in the whole league, and my guy Dante Marshall, my client Dante Marshall. He sent me his film last night, so I'll be shopping his film around, trying to get him some more opportunities before the summer is over with, going into next year, so he can get some more experience and possibly get on a USFL or XFL opportunity and get some workouts this summer and leading into the fall. So, again, shout out to Dante Marshall, defensive tackle for the Billings Outlaws of the Champions Indoor Football League. I'm taking some time to talk about pro developmental football because that young man, first of all, he paid for my services. He was able to play. He played the regular season, went into the playoffs, and he was able to make the money back that he paid me for the manager. I charged him $600 up front. He got his money to me, did it in two payments, $300 and $300. Got his money to me. He went back out there. He made his money back. I'm pretty sure if the team paid him on time like they were supposed to pay him, and I'm quite sure they did because he wouldn't have stayed out there if they didn't. I'm quite sure if the team paid him on time and accurately like it was supposed to, he probably tripled his money because you get paid about $200 a game at that level. I mean, that's what the contract is, $200 a game. So if you play three games, by the third or fourth game, you'd have pretty much made all your money back. And if you got a good owner that likes the way you play, he can kind of like slide to some other incentives because he owns the team. Now, league-wide, the contract states on paper, everybody gets paid $200 a game or whatever, $225 a game, however much they're paying now. It's anywhere from $180 to $200 or $225 a game. On paper, that's what a player has to make in pro developmental football because that's the league rules. So it can be fair to everybody. But if you got a good owner and the owner says, it's my team, and if I want to give my guy a couple of incentive dollars up under the table, that's between me and my player because I own this team. And he has the right to do that because he's the owner. But anyway, I'm just saying that it's opportunities when you pay somebody like myself to make your money back. If you like to work with me and be like Dante Marshall and get some pro film, put down some pro film so it can be shopped out to different levels of professional football, whether that's overseas, whether that's here, you know, whether that's in, you know, you go to the USFL, XFL, now they got the IFA, the International Football Alliance, where they got teams in Texas, they playing against teams in Mexico. That's going to be another option. Look like they got the budget to kind of like try to rival the pay scale of the CFL, USFL, XFL. So that's going to be exciting. But if you like to work with me and take advantage of some of these opportunities and to work with some of these people in my network, give me a call at area code. I'm sorry. You can check out my Twitter page at Ferran Sports. It's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. Reach out. You know, you can scroll through there and see how much my services cost, but I'll tell you now, my services currently are $1,200. You can put down $600 now, and I'll start working with you, and then you can put down the other $600, you know, in 35 days. And that's 30 days with a five-day grace period. So, again, my price for my services currently is $1,200. You can put down $600 now to get started with me. And then the other $600 is due in 30 days. That's 35 days. That's 30 days with a five-day grace period. 35 days the other installment is due. If you don't put in your other installment after that period, you will be starting back over with me from scratch. You'll lose your initial payment, and start all the way back over. That's why I tell everybody, I say, when you work with me, just you probably might want to just bring in the whole 1,200 in the beginning and get our business squared away. Pay the whole 1,200. I know some of you guys might be struggling to get that, but, you know, you find a way to get a cell phone, you find a way to get shoes, you find a way to get a bunch of stuff that's going to depreciate over time, but your career is blossoming, not depreciating. So invest in your career-wise blossoming so we can try to move you along as far as we can in professional football. At the same time, I do stuff for professional basketball, professional baseball as well. For baseball, I have a third party that I go through, Mike McGinnis. You can find him at SportsLawDoc on Twitter, at Sports_Law_Doc on Twitter, Mike McGinnis. And that's about the way it sounds, Mike, M-I-K-E, McGinnis, M-C-G-I-N-N-I-S, Mike McGinnis at SportsLawDoc on Twitter, at Sports_Law_Doc_. You'll find him, something like that, but I believe that's his handle. But I go through him for all my baseball clients. I send all my baseball clients over there to him so he can help me get them placed on different teams in different leagues to work their way up to MLB, or at least to a MILB, minor league baseball farm team. Basketball, I have good relationships with different leagues, the TBL, the basketball league, TBL. I have a good relationship there with my people there to help get guys pro-developmental opportunities, which can lead to them going overseas and playing and possibly working their way back to a G League situation. I also have a network relationship with the Utah Jazz organization, their G League organization. I have a good networking relationship with their general manager. However, I haven't sent him any players for a little bit because I kind of got away from basketball, because basketball is hard, just like baseball. Not that many roster spots, not that many opportunities. So you really have to be good. I'm going to be honest. As an undrafted free agent, you got to be coming with something. So I've had success getting guys looks. I had success getting guys looks, managing guys' careers. Like I was speaking about Dante Marshall, defensive tackle, Central State University undrafted. And I got him on with the Champions Indoor Football League, Billings Outlaws. And he just finished up playing in the playoffs this past weekend. And they lost to the Omaha Beef, unfortunately. But that experience that he got, it was valuable. Now he got his film. I'm stopping his film out this morning to try to get him in the IFL, the Indoor Football League, which is a step up marketing-wise. Talent-wise is the same in all these leagues. But marketing wise, they got a bigger budget for more visibility, and they have that that agreement with the XFL to get guys to come in and get workouts and everything like that. So we'll see how they go. I'm trying to get him to that level so we can see how he does one more step up, and kind of like see where he's going to kind of like pan out by next year. And the way I tell everybody, I say 2 years of pro developmental football. 2 years of anything, pro-developmental, football, baseball, basketball, 2 years. 2 years of it, you know. After that, if you don't see yourself making any traction, you can choose to play one more third year. It's kind of like, it's like I said, that's your consolation year. But you need to be at that time starting to be getting serious about looking for a job, using your degree. Or if you didn't get your degree, go back and get it. Or go back to some technical school. Go back to some technical school so you can go ahead and better yourself for life. Because unfortunately, corporate America is always calling. Corporate America or entrepreneurship is always calling, whichever route you want to take. But it's time to start getting serious about normal life at that point. On the monitor, they're saying the Nuggets defeat the Heat 4-1 in the NBA Finals. Eric Spoelstra says the Heat have no regrets after losing the title to the Nuggets. Well, they shouldn't have any regrets. Again, Eric Spoelstra says the Heat have no regrets after losing the title to the Nuggets. They shouldn't have any regrets. Shouldn't have any regrets. Why should they be regretting something? You was an 8 seed that worked your way all the way through the play-in tournament and went all the way to the finals. That gives people hope. That gives other franchises hope that you can build a team with a bunch of undrafted guys and still get to the highest level of competition. And that's what they did. They built a team with a lot of undrafted players. They were smart enough to do that because they saved on cap space. They saved on cap space so they can get the right free agents in there at some point. Except for now, they're going to have to pay some of them guys because they're going to have to pay some of those guys now because they performed so well. A lot of those guys that went undrafted that's on that team, they're going to have to pay those guys now because they you know, they performed well in the finals. The Miami Heat last night was never out of that game. They was never out of that game, trust me, people. They were never out of that game. But going back to what I was saying about football, pro developmental football free agency, I am a sports career manager. I manage athletes' career and try to take the film they had from college and try to get them to the highest level I can get them. I've had guys that played that got drafted in the XFL and was in camp. But I had guys on the XFL draft board. I had three of them on the XFL draft board, and two of them went to camp. Then one of them got cut, but got called back in the COVID-19 year when the XFL had relaunched. In the COVID-19 year, he got called back for the DC Defenders after being cut from the LA Wildcats. So he did get back three-man roster after being cut in camp, one of the last cuts in camp. Had a guy this year was playing in the USFL. Well, not playing, but he was in camp for the USFL. He made it to the final cut and got released. But he went on back to the Indoor Football League, IFL, and he's playing good ball out there with the Vegas Nighthawks, trying to work his way back to the USFL before the season is over with. You never know. Somebody might pick him up on another team, and you never know. He may get called back to the team he got released from. You just never know. But you always got to have a positive attitude. So I'm going to take a minute to focus on having a positive attitude when you are trying to be in professional football or professional sports altogether. If you're going undrafted, you know, it's a reason why you go undrafted, whether that's small school and no visibility, whether that's talent, whether it's level of competition at the school or the league, the conference you're playing in, or it could just be you need to still develop. It's a reason why people go undrafted. That's something that I hated to admit a lot of times because you always tend to think that when it's your client, you know, you want your client to be seen in the best light. You want to always feel like my client should be playing in the NFL and all these different things. But when you really look at life, when some of you players are getting an opportunity at a pro developmental level, if you can't stay on the football field or you can't keep your job, you can't get on the field, it's like that's saying something. You got to really sit back and think where you are. If you're getting benched for another player, or if you just on the practice squad at that level, that's kind of like telling you these are the reasons why you're not in the NFL, because you're having a hard time getting on the field or a hard time keeping your job at this level. So when you start talking about I should be playing on TV for the USFL or the XFL, and then you dare say I should be in the NFL by now, I don't know. We have to look at facts, not fiction. We have to look at facts, not you know what we want to say. Like in the medical field, when I was in the medical field, I was a hospital corpsman in the Navy, and I was stationed with the Marines. I did a lot of my time with the Marine Corps. And so as you're treating a patient, because when you're with the Marines, you have to treat patients. They call that morning sick call. When people come in and they're sick, they come in, sick call hours and get seen, whether they had an appointment or whether they just walk in. You know, you check them out. And you have something called subjective and objective is the part that I'm talking about. It's subjective, objective, assessment, and plan. The subjective is what is the person telling you that's wrong with them, telling you as the medical provider that they need fixing. And the objective is what I see. Is what I see. I'm doing the objective part. This is what I see. And it sort of goes like, 21-year-old black male came in complaining of itching all over his body. Then I got to examine that young man, and I got to look and say, okay, this is what I see. This is what I see. This is what my examination reveals. And then I got to give an assessment. Is this contact dermatitis? Blah, 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 blah. Then I got to come up with a plan to fix it. I'm going to give you some Benadryl and some steroid cream. That's how I'm going to fix that, right? So when I look at an athlete's career, it's sort of like the same thing. You come to me and you tell me, man, I should have went, I didn't get drafted because of this, 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 and this. Okay, that's what you're telling me. But when I actually see you playing, I'm looking at stuff and I'm saying, is he dominant? Is he standing out, or do he pretty much look like about as good as everybody else at this level? That's how I determine if you really gonna make it to the NFL. So I don't go into a situation preaching the NFL anymore. I quit doing that because I don't want anybody having hopes about the NFL. If you're playing football, just play football. Just play football. Play pro developmental football. You're a professional football player because you're getting paid, housed, fed. You got workers' comp in case you get hurt. Had a guy got hurt the first doggone game up in Green Bay. He got hurt. Matter of fact, I had him on the show a while back. He did his interview on the show and everything. So I was doing my free agent athlete spotlight. I might bring that back to the show. I don't know yet. It's just a lot of work getting that done, a lot of coordinating, but I was successful in getting several players on here to tell their story post, their story going from high school to college, college to pro, and where they are at today. But one of my guys that was on the show, he got hurt in the first play of the game. And so that ain't no knock to him, but I'm just telling you how when you guys don't want to take the opportunity to play pro developmental football after going undrafted out of college, you're really just cheating yourself, because sometimes when you get the opportunity, you still don't make it through because you can get hurt or whatever. But the thing about it is you got to take a chance to get out there on the field. You got to take a chance to get out there on the field, because if you don't, you may never have a chance to prove what you're telling me. Take the opportunity to prove. I call it my proving system. Take the opportunity to prove that you belong in the NFL. Take the opportunity. Play pro developmental football. At least get the opportunity to give you the experience of being a pro athlete at the pro level. Now, people say, oh, I don't want to pay for $200 a game. Well, that's what you're worth right now. When you go and draft it, that's what you're worth. Like I was saying about the Miami Heat in the NBA. Those guys that Jimmy Butler was playing with, a lot of those guys were undrafted guys coming off the bench or even starting. Some of those guys were undrafted. And so, you can save a lot of cap space by signing guys that are undrafted, because if you draft them, you got to pay them a lot of more money on the signing bonus. But if you just bring them in to camp, work them out, give them a free agent contract, they're making good money, of course, because it's the NBA, and it's a league minimum. Even if they sign a league minimum contract, they're doing all right. Even if they play on a couple 10-day contracts and get their guaranteed money, at least they can go home with a couple $100,000, to go start a business or whatever. So, but the point I'm making is now that they got to the NBA Finals, you can best believe that agents are going to be like, hey, this guy proved himself. You got to restructure his contract, or we're going to find another team. Restructure his contract, get him some more money, or we got to find him another team. That's just the way it is in pro sports. So the point that I'm making is that anytime you're an undrafted athlete, Put yourself in a position to be seen. Put yourself in a position to prove your argument. Don't just come talking, oh, yeah, man, I should be in the NFL. Who said that? Who told you that? I didn't tell you that. Because bottom line is, if you're not getting offered a free agent contract, something's wrong. again, either you're not that good, you went to a small school that has no visibility, and you went to and you played in a league that the level of competition is low. So you need to prove that you can get on the field against pro athletes that play at all different levels. And this is in all three sports, all big three major sports, in any sport, to be honest, that's a team sport. Stuff like golf, tennis, you know, that doesn't really work. I'm talking about team sports, you know, team, NHL, NFL, you know, baseball, softball, basketball, football. I'm talking about team sports right now. It's a different kind of dynamic when you're talking about golf, tennis, stuff like that, some of these other different sports. Even if you're doing doubles, mixed doubles and all that stuff with tennis, but it's still not a team sport. It's just, you know, two people. You're coupled up with somebody. It's not a team sport. But you got to prove that you can play against players at all levels that went to Division III, Division II, NAIA, Division I FCS, Division I FBS. You'll be playing against all these different type of players and getting all kind of experience. Right now I got a JUCO athlete, Henry Kellogg. Henry Kellogg, he was in camp with the Indoor Football League with the Tucson Sugar Skulls. He got released for whatever reason. Then he went to another team, and he went down a level in the Champions Indoor Football League and had two sacks, I believe, in the first game. He played there. He got released on some other stuff, some team-related stuff. He got released, but then he got picked back up in the Indoor Football League with the Tulsa, the Tulsa Oilers right now. The Tulsa Oilers picked him up, so he's back in the IFL, and again, true to form, as soon as he stepped on the field, they was calling his name again. So, and he's a JUCO guy. I got him from a junior college, got him into fan control football. He dominated there. Got an opportunity to play in the Indoor Football League, which is where he's at now. And he's a JUCO guy, working his way. He understands the opportunity. He's not sitting back. Like a lot of these guys, they'll say, oh, I'm trying to get outdoors. Well, the thing about outdoor football teams, if they don't have a budget, they'll fold. A lot of these leagues that try to, like MILB, we had a big thing last year about the minor league football. I'm sorry, MLF, minor league football, or MILF, MILF. You know, they tried to field 6 teams or field 4 teams. I can't remember how they was going to do it. And the teams was going to be playing each other week to week. But to field a 53-man team, helmets, pads, uniforms, lodging, meals, travel, whatever the case may be, to field a 53-man roster is hard to do. So a lot of times I tell them, go ahead and play indoor, because a lot of the indoor teams have been around for a while. They play every year. And you got to play there. It's a 23-man roster, so that's half the budget gone. Then at the same time, you're not paying. The team is not paying all these big stadium costs. They narrow it down to an arena. And a lot of these teams play in areas where they have hockey, minor league hockey. So they'll lease out the minor league hockey rink. And, you know, and they play there on a shortened field. I believe it's 50 yards long, 25 yards wide. So it's like playing in a phone booth, but it makes you quicker because the arena game is fast, very fast, and you got to be in shape. But I tell guys, just take the opportunities. That's the point of what I'm trying to say. Take the opportunities to prove to yourself that you are that player. Prove to yourself that you are that guy that you say you are. You got to take the time to prove that. Prove it. Don't just be on here rattling off at the jaw about well, I deserve to be at this level. I deserve to be at that level. Who said that? And one thing about football at the college level, you can find a college football team anywhere. Whether you're playing JUCO, whether you're playing NAIA, whether you're playing Division III, Division II. If you got decent grades, at least a C average, you can play ball definitely at the NAIA level. NCAA, you kind of got to have a little bit, at least a B average. But, I mean, if your grades are decent, you'll be able to find someone to play college football. But this is the problem. When you come out of college, out of the college level, it's not that many pro teams. That's what you guys don't understand. It's just not that many pro teams. I think it's 40 franchises. 40 franchises, 53 men. You do the math. And I think, you know, when I've done the math the last time, it's like, you know, you could probably say 3,000 people are in the NFL on an active roster. About 3,000, somewhere up in there. Or that might be including the practice squad players. That's not a lot of people. We're talking about 3,000. And then you start talking about Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball, and then National Basketball Association. That's half of that. To be a pro athlete, they're not looking for good. They're looking for special. The way it is, they're gonna pay the money to the biggest, the strongest, and the fastest to get the money that they're talking about paying. If you're not the biggest, the strongest, the fastest, and you're able to get that bag, either you was damn lucky and knew somebody, or you might be Jesus. I'll put it like that. And so the point that I'm making is that you got to be something rare. If you're not the prototypical player at a position, if you're not the cookie cutter prototype, you better be damn special. You better walk on water to get that bag. And a lot of those guys that are undersized, like look at Aaron Donald. He's only 5'10", 5'11". He's not 6 feet. But he's a dog. He's a beast. You can't stop him. The other thing, he was a dog and a beast that size at Pitt University, at Pittsburgh, at a major Division I college in the Big East. So the point that I'm making to you is this. This is the point I'm making to you. He was able to be seen on Saturday. He was able to be evaluated, undersized at a big school, whipping people's butt at the highest level of college. Now, had he went to like a small FCS school like a Florida A&M, who had a great season this year, a Jackson State, North Carolina Central, who actually won the Celebration Bowl this year, the Legacy Bowl, whatever they're calling it now. I think it's still the Celebration Bowl for Historical Black College National Championship. If he didn't went to one of those schools, he probably wasn't going to get drafted or even sign a free agent contract because you're undersized and now you're playing at a marginalized program. And now you got to deal with the level of competition at a marginalized program. They're looking at all of this here stuff, people. So this is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm just taking some time to talk to my free agents out there that might listen to the show and tell you how your mindset got to work when you're a free agent and the things that you got to deal with. It's not the same as like when you're coming from a big program. It just don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. But anyway, with that being said, I want to take some time to go ahead and tell everybody, remember to be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Remember the golden rule, treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Remember there's only one race, that's the human race. Please pray for the war out in Ukraine. Pray that war stops and all these other wars across the world. Pray that this flood damage over in Ukraine stops. They're fighting the war. Plus, they just had a major dam break over in Ukraine, which is causing people to be stranded. Pray for those people that are stranded that they get rescued. Pray for that war to stop again. And at the same time, I want to give some occult condolences out to it. It's a young lady. I believe her name is Tori Bowie, if I'm correct. It was shown on the monitor that she died from complications of childbirth down in Florida, but she was a champion college champion of college, more than likely, and a Olympic champion sprinter, So she ran track at the highest level, and she wound up passing away. So keep her family in your prayers, and may she rest in peace. All right. Make sure you get your flu shot. Make sure you get your COVID-19 booster. Make sure you keep your mask on in crowded spaces. Make sure you keep your hands sanitized on you at all times so you can avoid monkeypox and whatever else is out there and stuff like that. Don't get offended when people put that mask on. If you're coughing and sneezing, don't get offended because people are just trying to stay alive. COVID-19 is still out there, and it took out a lot of people when that epidemic was at its highest rate. It took out a lot of people, including my own sister. Rest in peace to my sister Connie. I know she's looking down on us right now. She's always with me, though. She's always in my heart. But I say all this to say that, you know, do what these healthcare providers are telling you to do. Get your shots, get your boosters, and all this good stuff so you can keep yourself safe and your loved ones safe and everybody in the community safe. All right, today our topic was Nuggets Who Stood the Heat. The host with the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sports they love the most in front of a global streaming audience. Topics covered but not limited to would be NBA champions Denver Nuggets. And, you know, across the monitor, they're saying that Miami's Cinderella run ends after reaching the finals as an 8 seed. Should the Heat go all in on Damian Lillard this offseason? That's interesting. I feel like if they pick up Damian Lillard, that'll definitely be a plus to play with Jimmy Butler. You have Bam Adebayo, Damian Lillard, and you'll have Jimmy Butler. But the problem is, what is Portland going to get back? Because you got a bunch of players on the team, on Miami's team, that's undrafted guys. So they may not want that. They may just want to be like, hey, give me draft picks or cash. Give me all your draft picks, X amount of draft picks for them. And but how many draft picks are going to be valuable to Portland? Because Miami already has went, as far as picking order, as far as the lottery and all that their stuff go, Miami is a contender. They went to the finals, so I don't know how that works. I don't know if it works like football or not, but it's like, you know, how valuable are your picks going to be in the first and the second round? How valuable are the picks going to be? What order are you picking in? So, but that's going to be interesting. And, you know, draft is coming up, if I'm correct, on June 26th. So we'll see how it all goes. And then, you know, free agency, I believe, will start at some point again since it's the off season. So people are going to be trying to add people, cut people, trade people. It's going to be all kind of stuff going on before they get back out there. And I believe they'll probably kick it back off basketball in probably, end of October, something like that. So it's going to be free agency during the summertime. It's going to be interesting. And now it looks like the sweeps to get Damian Lillard. The Damian Lillard sweepstakes are going on, so we'll see where he lands at, or if he's gonna stay put in Portland. But anyway, with that being said, this has been the Stokers and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host Ramiro Ferrand, aka the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Everybody, stay safe out there, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, God be willing. All right, have a great day. We're gonna set black, fade off. Have a great day. Goodbye.